Good morning. This is Sunday, April the 19th. And our scripture this morning comes from Genesis 15, 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great shield. The title of our sermon this morning is Fear Not. Have you ever taken a bold step of faith, then suddenly thought, what have I done? That's where Abraham is in this verse. The text begins with three words, after these things. A lot has happened in the previous chapter. An army of four powerful kings have attacked and conquered Sodom and her allies. The city was plundered, and in the process, Abraham's nephew, Lot, was taken captive. When Abraham heard about it, he went after those four kings with only 318 men. It was a courageous act of faith. Abraham caught that army by surprise, defeated it, and rescued Lot. When Abraham thought about the rescue that he did, he knew it had been a crazy idea. It was a totally impossible risk. By faith, however, Abraham had accomplished the impossible. We read those two words over and over in Hebrews 11. By faith. That's how things get done in the kingdom of God. That's how 318 men defeat a four-king army. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The rule of the kingdom is, be it unto you according to your faith. Israel crossed the Jordan by faith. David conquered Goliath by faith. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead by faith. Abraham's faith was bold and strong when he attacked those four kings and their armies.
Interestingly enough, the king of Sodom tried to give Abraham all the spoils. But again, Abraham acted in faith. He turned down the easy money because he did not want the king of Sodom to take credit for making him wealthy. Abraham trusted God to take care of his financial future and to take care of his family. Now, Abraham had done all the right things in Genesis 14. He had passed every test thrown at him, yet, what do we read? What happens next? After these things, we find Abraham panicking. We find like a sick feeling hits the pit of his stomach. What have I done? He may have asked himself. I have alienated four powerful kings. I caught them by surprise and I overcame them. But they're not going to leave it there. Well, they're going to be furious. They're probably going to come back. Abraham lays his head on his pillow and he starts to think it over. Ooh, I'm in big trouble. What am I going to do? Now, I know that feeling. I know what it's like to step out and do something beyond myself and trust God with the results, and then to start second-guessing myself. Well, what have I done? Did I really hear God's word, or was I just being presumptuous? And I'm sure many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's possible, isn't it, to feel full faith at one moment, and then in the next moment be in a state of panic. We find that circumstances haven't changed, but oftentimes our thinking patterns have.
What do you need more than anything else at a time like that? Look at our text closely and see it there. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram. Logic and reasoning would not have pulled Abraham out of his despondent state. Human logic would say, "Well, you idiot, why'd you make those four kings so mad? Don't you know they're going to come back and wipe you off the face of the earth? You're just 318 men. You're no match for that army when they come back on their own terms." But God gave Abraham what he needed. The word of the Lord came. Maybe that's what somebody here needs today. The word of the Lord. Sometimes a sermon isn't enough. You need God to tell you it's going to be okay. The word of the Lord can come to us in many ways. In this situation, it came in a vision. I still believe in supernatural dreams and visions, don't you? I've had a few dreams and visions that were powerful events in my life. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28, it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." God is still doing that today.
Sometimes we find that God speaks to us through a sermon or while we're reading the Bible. Now, I can truthfully say that I've had dreams that I am sure were God-inspired, as well as have heard the voice of God. But most of the time, God speaks to our spirit, doesn't he? We have that strong inner sense that God is communicating to us spirit to spirit. How the word of the Lord comes to us is not so important as the fact that it does come. Now the word says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Abraham was in desperate need of a word from God, and God gave it to him. What was God's word to Abraham? "Do not be afraid." I like the old King James Version that states, "Fear not." Is any of you here today in a state of fear? The word of the Lord to you is, "Fear not." Do you feel like nothing is going to turn out right? Now God says to you, "Fear not."
Fear is a tormenting emotional state. One thing that will make heaven such a wonderful place is a total absence of fear. Perfect love casts out fear. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, which comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Tormenting fear is one of the devil's favorite tactics. Sometimes it comes at us like a roaring lion, and sometimes there are those feelings of panic, but just as damaging is the more subtle form of fear that we call worry. Jesus told us not to worry about even the basic things of life, like food and shelter. Worry never accomplished one thing except to wear you out. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The Living Bible begins verse 6 this way: "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything." Do you know how easy it is to substitute worry for prayer? Make a decision that every time you catch yourself worrying, you will start praying. You will start thanking God for His faithfulness. Make your requests known to God in prayer. You will cast your care on Him, knowing that He cares for you. That is a good antidote to wipe out worry.
It's an inspiring exercise just to look at all the biblical times when God tells His people not to fear. For example, as you look at Exodus 14, verse 13, Israel looked up and he saw Pharaoh's army charging at them. Now here the Red Sea was at their back and they had no place to run. Remember what Moses said to them? "Do not fear. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Miracles happen in the midst of crisis. People get miracles who need miracles. God Himself had led Israel in between that proverbial rock and a hard place, and God had positioned them between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army so He could show Himself strong on their behalf. Ah, dear friend, you may be only one breath away from the greatest miracle of your life. It's often darkest right before daybreak. You may be right on the verge of a breakthrough. Don't discount God in your situation. Also, as Joshua was about to lead Israel into the promised land, the word of the Lord to him was, "Fear not." Now, there are times in our lives when we need those words. There are times when we need to be reminded of God's faithfulness. Franklin Roosevelt had some good insight when he told America, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." Fear is very often the first obstacle we have to hurdle in our journey of faith.
Back to our text. God gave Abraham the best reason in the world not to fear. Look at Genesis 15, verse 1 again, and read those blessed words of assurance. "I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." Notice, does God not say, "I'll give you a shield," or "I'll give you a reward"? He says something far more precious: "I am." Abraham was facing two fears. One was the likelihood those kings would counterattack. How would he defend himself against the attack? I don't think Abraham was just concerned about himself. He was concerned about his family. He was concerned for those 318 men and their families. He felt the load of that responsibility. God was saying to Abraham, "I will take care of that army. Don't worry about it." And we never hear of them again. They don't counterattack for whatever reason. God can shield you from the wrath of your enemies. He doesn't always do it by frying them with a blaze of fire. In fact, that's not His preference at all. God is longing to turn that enemy's heart. God prefers to soften the heart and meld it with His love. But we have to know that God is just exactly the kind of shield that we need. We have to remember that He will be our defense when we need defending.
The other fear is possibly the fear of poverty or should I simply say the fear of not having enough? Fear dominates the minds of men and women in our society today. You can almost cut it with a knife. But we know that God has not given us that fear of anxiety. I believe some of us children of Abraham who are here today need to hear a word from the Lord like Abraham did. We need those two words, fear not. We need to get that down into our hearts, and we need to know who God is. He is our shield, and he is our exceeding great reward.
I want to close by reading the words of an old song entitled, Then I Met the Master. This song is a good reminder of the dramatic difference it makes to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Verse 1 says, Like a babe when it cries for its mother, like a child, I was helpless alone. Then I met the Master, and now I am one of his own. For all things were changed when he found me. A new day broke through all around me. When I met the Master, now I belong to him. Like a blind man who walks in the darkness, I had searched for the light. Then I met the Master. Now I walk no more in the night. For all things were changed when he found me. His love now shines all around me. For I met the Master, now I belong to him. For I met the Master, and now I belong to him.
Do you belong to him? Is God your shield and exceeding great reward? If so, trust him to take care of you. If you're not sure about your relationship with God, now is the time to make sure. Now is the time to ask him to come into your life and to change you and be Lord of all. I want to give opportunity to anyone wanting to do that, to pray right now and to get everything right with God. So feel free to pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I don't want to be my own master. I want you to take charge of my life, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins, and I ask you to forgive me for going my own way, and I surrender my life to you right now, and I receive your forgiveness. I receive your love. I receive you as my Lord, my Savior, my friend, and my God. Amen.